German companies that did business in Russia were very happy with the investments they made.
Sanctions are always challenging, no matter in which region, in which economy they are proposed.
I'm afraid to sound a little cynical, but as Bertolt Brecht once wrote, first comes the grub and then morals.
Hey, and welcome to The Dip, the podcast where you can get some spicy sauce on your business and economic stories. I'm Cassandra.
And I'm Kai. And this week, I've been chasing a wild headline, a wild story. It certainly raised a lot of eyebrows in the newsroom, turned a lot of heads, because the headline was German companies want to go back to Russia.
Yeah, it had head scratching across the newsroom. And that's a pretty legit reaction because, as we all know,
definitely,
we're still in the war with Ukraine, between Russia and Ukraine. We're in the fifth year in the war. And these headlines were coming just at the beginning of the so-called Russian Davos, right? The St. Petersburg International Forum. And so it had us wondering, you know, where did this headline even come from, Kai?
So it comes from a German-Russian private trade association that sits in Moscow, of course, and they surveyed some of their members. Mm-hmm. And we don't know how many members they actually have. We don't know who the members are. And the members said, well, the sanctions, they harm Germany more than they harm Russia, and Germany should get back into buying Russian gas mm-hmm. and these kind of things. So, you know, the things are a bit out there and stuff. And obviously others from the Russian government said, well, there is this German delegation coming to the St. Petersburg Forum. Mm-hmm. It's really important to understand that there is no official delegation whatsoever, not from the German government and also not from any industry bodies here in Germany.
This seems like a, you know, a, forgive the metaphor, like a Russian doll. Like the more you open it up, 100%. The more mysterious this gets. So you said there's no delegation, but who's there?
So there are Russian companies that have some German ties. So there is Thomas Bruch, for example. He owns or is part of a very big supermarket chain in Germany, and he has a private stake. So he himself has a stake in a Russian hypermarket, you know, these really, really big supermarkets that sell you anything you want, and that's why he's there. So Russian company. And then there is also Stefan Dürr, German citizen, but also Russian citizen since 2013. And he has the biggest milk producing business in Russia. And he also received the Order of Friendship in Russia. So you kind of know where these people sit.
Yeah, all of this seems to definitely have a certain perspective to it. This this association that surveyed its members, who are secret, but it's based in Russia. And yeah, okay, so you've made that really clear, but it does still sound like such a wild mix. So I'm looking forward. Who are we speaking to today?
Yeah, it's certainly not Thomas Bruch, because he was like, no, I'm not going to talk to you. But it was also really hard to track down any German businesses or German business associations, because even though if they sold all their parts that they had in Russia at some point, they didn't make a lot of money on it. So it was big write-offs in the billions that some companies had to do. And obviously, like, they don't like to talk about it. So I'm really happy that now with us is Andreas Jahn from the German Association for Small and Medium-Sized Businesses, where he's responsible for the international trade issues. And also John Luff from the UK, who used to run a consultancy business in Russia on investment risk and political risk, and is now head of foreign policy at the new Eurasian Strategy Center.
Andreas, let's start with you. We just heard about some of these not so trustworthy, potentially new interests of German companies in Russia. But how interesting, so to say, is Russia for these companies that you represent?
As a matter of fact, this interest is very small and concerns only a small bunch of people. Usually, during the last 4 or 5 years, the interest was declining considerably. When you see the facts and figures, the export of the German economy to Russia in 2022 was about 45 billion euro. And last year, only 10.8 billion euro were remaining. So you can see the interest is declining. And in our association, honestly speaking, There are only small enterprises in the sector of agriculture or food production, which are still there.
Andrea, so some companies, German companies, sold their assets. Others had them seized by Putin, and others stayed. So, but when you look at this from the outside, anybody would say, who in their right mind is actually staying in Russia?
Definitely, that's the question. And a lot of our entrepreneurs, they really are not very risk-averse. They just are considering the business opportunities all around the world. And if you see, for instance, the ASEAN region with one third of the global trade and also some trade agreements, free trade agreements like Mercosur. So you can see those regions have a lot of dynamic, and German SMEs are investing heavily in these regions. And as a matter of fact, Russia for them is not of any importance. They just try to mitigate those risks. And if they have still some production lines, they are using rather Kazakhstan or some neighboring countries like Armenia or Georgia. But Russia as a market is no longer of any interest for them.
John, there was this famous saying from the former U.S. President George W. Bush. He said, fool me once, shame on you. You know, fool me twice, well, you're not going to fool me again, is paraphrasing a little bit. But it makes me wonder, is Germany and German companies, are they setting themselves up to get fooled by Russia again?
Well, if they go back in force in the hope of making money quickly, then I think the answer is most definitely yes. But I think we can look at it maybe through another lens and say that the German companies that did business in Russia up to 2022, in many cases, were very happy with the investments they made because they were undoubtedly successful. German business was respected in Russia. Of course, there is great long historical links. But the structure of trade had remained really unchanged for over 100 years. So Russia was exporting raw materials. Germany was largely exporting machine tools, services, things that otherwise Russia couldn't generate from its own market. And this complementarity, I think, has led people in Germany for a long, long time to believe that Germany and Russia somehow have this special economic relationship where their interests are balanced, and that they can work well together. And of course, the construction of the Nord Stream gas pipelines.
Yeah, that's right.
During the Merkel era, for the most part, they were a great symbol, really, of the stability of this relationship. But it was founded on really the export of natural gas, which had begun in the late 1960s. But that business for both Germany and the Soviet Union initially, and then Russia, was very successful.
And you've worked with German companies as a consultant in Russia, John. How were German companies different?
I think German companies, I mean, by virtue that very often there were Germans involved who were well-trained, I think were culturally sensitive, and were seen to, you know, embody a business culture that, of course, organized very differently from Russia's, but who I think were able to communicate very well with their Russian counterparts, would respect them, and, you know, often found solutions to the typical problems that arise in the Russian market. But I think we shouldn't, at the same time, you know, overestimate the importance of this business relationship, because it always seemed to me that its importance was exaggerated on the German side. Mm. Because when you measure it against the trade with Poland, and I remember that the pre-COVID data, that Germany was doing trade with Poland at a level that was 2.5 times higher than the trade it was doing with Russia, even though the Russian economy was 2.5 times the size of Poland's economy. So that right away tells you a story, that the countries closer to Germany and Central Europe have had greater economic significance.
John, you've been on the ground in Russia for quite some time. You consulted firms, you know, on how to navigate the government there. Can firms and companies operate there without sort of, you know, bending the knee towards the government? Or is that just something that doesn't work, that doesn't fly over there?
Well, I think it depends on the sector you're working in. If you're in the, let's say, oil and gas business, then inevitably you're dealing with the Russian state. If you are, let's say, a Mittelstand company, then you're not going to have that sort of state-level interference, but you're probably going to come up against, you know, more local problems that can often be very difficult to resolve. And the problem in that case is that you can't very easily get to a decision-making level to resolve them. So typically, the big German corporates could, with political help, of course, from Berlin, knock on the right doors in Moscow to deal with their issues. And my experience was that the Mittelstand companies, when they encountered problems, found them much more difficult to deal with, and therefore found Russia a more frustrating place. It's not to say that they didn't manage, in many cases, to find at least some, you know, compromises or indeed solutions, but it was hard work.
Andreas, your industry buddy was also one prior to 2022 that questioned a lot of the sanctions. DW just did an interview this week with a chemical company where they also questioned the sanctions again against Russia. Is that questioning of sanctions against Russia a rightful question in your view?
You know, as a matter of fact, sanctions are always challenging, no matter in which region, in which economy they are proposed. We have seen it too many regimes, Venezuela, Iran, and North Korea. The countries will turn to other horizons. So, as a matter of fact, our member companies, they are world market leaders in one small niche, and they are orientating themselves in regions, in clusters where success and where business finds the right conditions. So there is no doubt, you know, there were no question marks to their reaction. And we are very keen of that, and we assess those companies also to find new markets where they can do business in a quite efficient way. So as a matter of fact, a geopolitical, a genuine understanding also of the CEOs. If I would like to be involved in a region where people are committing war crimes, you know, so the answer, of course, for an overwhelming majority of them is no.
John, a bit of a grim one, but you have some experience with that as you operate it in Russia a lot. There are still businesses in Germany that still operate there, that still generate revenue there, pay taxes. You know, I'm always wondering, like, at which point, you know, when you look at the balance sheet or when you look at the revenue, what kind of percentage are companies, you know, willing to sacrifice at some point to take the higher ladder on the moral stance? You know, when do you say, okay, we cut 10% of revenue, but we're out of Russia, that's fine for us? Or, you know, is there anything with which you can quantify this decision?
Well, I'm afraid to sound a little cynical, but as Bertolt Brecht once wrote, first comes the grub and then morals, if I translate that correctly. And of course, you know, some businesses have made the judgment that they're happy to remain in Russia, that they don't feel clearly any pangs of conscience about the fact that they are contributing revenues to the Russian budget, which is using budget revenues, of course, to launch this appalling war against Ukraine. So in my view, those companies need to live with their own conscience. I tend to think that there is justice in this world, and they will probably pay for it at some point somewhere else. But that's just, of course, strictly speaking, my personal view. I would not want to be a business owner still committed to the Russian market. And of course, life for them may become more difficult. And there were certainly some companies that chose to try to stay in Russia after February 2022, after the start of the war against Ukraine, but then realized that their position was no longer tenable. So depending on how long this war lasts, let's see how many of those companies actually really stay the course.
So to which areas or to which countries do the businesses then go to? Like, where do they try to compensate for the business they lost in Russia?
So we can see that a lot of them went to Kazakhstan, but also to Southeast Europe. And you see how quickly countries like Bulgaria, like Hungary, like Croatia, Serbia, increased their foreign trade with Germany. And at the same time, Central Asian country like Uzbekistan and Kazakhstan absorbed this decline of Russian trade.
Right. John, given everything we've heard, I'm wondering, you know, what's the incentive here? Is the Russian economy a good one to be in if you're a business?
Well, it depends on the prevailing conditions. I think there's still hope in some European circles, particularly among the bankers. You speak to them, they think that at some point sanctions are going to be lifted, that the Russians are going to want to normalize relations with Europe, that there will be new business opportunities. And because of the impact of sanctions over what will have been more than 5 years, I'm quite sure by the time any sanctions are seriously relaxed, we will see appetite for Western goods and services, and maybe some Western commodities even, that of which the Russian economy has been starved. And over the last 4.5 years, Russia has, by force, has become very dependent on Chinese imports, on trade with China. And if it were not for Russia's ability to sell oil to China at current prices, if it were not for China's readiness to supply so-called dual-use goods, particularly electronic components, the Russian defense industry would certainly not be functioning the way it is today. And I'm convinced that Russia would not be building as many drones and missiles as it is today, that it's using to extraordinarily destructive effect against Ukraine. So I think it's fair to assume there will be some sort of rebalancing at some point. I tend to think that's after Putin leaves power, personally. And then I would very much hope for Russia's sake that it is able to normalize relations with its neighbors, is able to establish a long-term peace with Europe, a sustainable peace which will not just be on Russia's terms. And in that case, I think we will see more investment in Russia. And there will indeed, in those conditions, be, I think, really important opportunities for German companies, and not just German companies. But Germans, in my experience, are well adjusted to the realities of Russia. There are lots of things that Germans, if I can generalize at this level, that do admire in Russia. And equally, there are many things that Russians admire about the way Germans go about business. And the way Germany is organized, and you know, despite, of course, in Germany, all these laments about the over-bureaucratization and how long it takes to take decisions, all these things, I still think that in Russia, there's a great admiration for Germany's technological prowess.
John, you just mentioned it, like the banking sector being a possibility, you know, to go back after the sanctions are lifted. Do you see that really, like that after the sanctions go away, that a lot of businesses will come back? Maybe John, you first, and then we go to Andreas.
No, I don't think there'll be a lot of them, but you will certainly see some people who are prepared to take the risk and who understand the benefits of being the first mover. Mm. Because if the business does restart and you're in the business of financing investments, you want to get there quickly. So I would expect that we'll see a surge of interest from a small number of players, not necessarily committing large amounts of money, but testing the market, testing to see whether the Russian government is going to try to make the country more investment friendly. But let's remember, in this extraordinarily repressive environment in Russia, where power is heavily concentrated at the center, The scope, of course, for the traditional corrupt practices, you know, all these problems are making life difficult for foreigners, the level of antipathy towards foreigners, this is not going to make it, in my view, a very friendly place to operate.
Andreas, do you agree?
Exactly, I agree completely. We have still an office in Moscow, and our representative tells us exactly the same details as John mentioned. There is real threat and also some bureaucratic hurdles 10 times worse than here in Germany. So no investment-friendly climate, and no matter what they might announce, as a matter of fact, on the daily basis, those companies are facing a lot of challenges. Also, the change of the currency, inflation, all these aspects are not really able to increase the appetite of German SMEs to come again and to come back.
Andreas, I know we've heard a lot of qualifying so far in this conversation, right? That things kind of depend on when sanctions are lifted, how a peace is negotiated, and what industry a business is in. But I'm wondering for the companies that your association represents, how big and important is the Russian market for these businesses?
Some in small niches, like in machinery, in construction, in renewable energy. We have been connected with some companies who were there, and he told us that was affecting around about 20% of their business. For the time being, no one has a lot of nostalgia. They are trying to, of course, to just cope with these challenges. And also it concerns the fact that those people who were working for the companies were there from third, fourth generation, you know, all these linkages which were existing even on the Soviet days. So this is the real tragedy, that this know-how, all this what was on the ground, is now going to China and to other horizons.
John, Andreas, thank you so much for your time and joining us on the show. We really appreciate your insights.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's it this week from us at The Diff.
And of course, if you have any questions or comments, please leave them wherever you're watching or listening to this podcast right now.
Of course, you can also shoot us an email at thedip@dw.com. We'd love to get all your messages.
But of course, until next time, thanks for watching and listening to The Diff.